Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to another amazing episode of Permission to Enter. We have Tiffany back on the podcast
dun,
today.
Dun, dun.
We really missed her last week, but she's back. And obviously I'm LC here every week for you. But now this week we have a really awesome guest for you per usual. She is a certified friendship coach and recently just blew up on TikTok. So that's how I found her. So we have a lot of questions. But we want to give her permission to enter first, of course, because consent's important. So Danielle, you now have permission to enter. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
First of all, I want to know, what was that like going just viral, I guess? Was it like overnight, just kind of your TikTok went viral and
crazy? Wait, I'm going to pause you guys really fast and interrupt. I just want everyone to know that's listening right now that Danielle is stunning. Go to her Instagram right now. Look at her Instagrams and TikToks. She is gorgeous. Like, I couldn't stop looking at her face and her smile. If you want to brighten your day a little bit, go check her out right now.
That is very nice. The TikTok filters are very generous, and my handy dandy ring letter, you know, or my hype man.
Whatever. Yeah, Tiffany's ultimate hype man. I'm pretty sure she's got to watch your videos like multiple times because she just is like, you're too pretty first, and then she gets the info.
Yeah. You know, oh my gosh. I appreciate that. It's been very interesting. I made that video before I went to pick up my son, and I'm not really on TikTok much. I mean, okay, I take it back. I am like a TikTok creeper. Like, I watch the videos, you know, posting too much. Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? People keep saying TikTok is where it's at. I need to like put some content out there. And so literally I had my keys in hand about to pick up my son. And I was like, no, I said I'd do a video. And I had no ideas. And then I came across that girl's video talking about what advice would you give to yourself when you were 20? And I was like, oh, I got this. And so I didn't think about it again until that night. And so when I logged back on and I saw 300,000 views and I thought, what? So I'm very familiar and comfortable on Instagram. So I went over to Instagram and I got on my stories and I was like, oh my God, okay, you guys, is this normal? Is that like a lot? Is that a lot? And so then the next morning it was at 1 million and now it's at 2.6 million. And
that's
so,
crazy.
It's been really crazy, really fun. But surprising for sure.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That is the cool thing about TikTok is anybody has the chance to just like randomly go viral, but it exposes a lot of really cool, creators, influencers, coaches, all this cool stuff. I love, I'm the same as you. I've actually never created one video at all, but I do like to go on there and look. I just found out what the For You page is last week from Lauren.
Oh,
I know,
gosh.
I'm so behind. I didn't even realize that was a thing that is catering to my needs every time I go on there. But I think that algorithm is spot on. It really does hit you in a different type of way. But I think that's a cool thing is it opens your world up to some new people. And I don't think a lot of the other platforms do allow for that. So I think it's cool.
No, Instagram's algorithm is trash. So, and I feel like
I agree.
Twitter's is okay, but yeah, and Instagram's is the worst one, but TikTok they're killing it on the algorithm game. So I'm glad it brought us to you, but, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do. You're a friendship coach. I know you do a few different things, but like, you know, friendship coaching, like how did you get into that? Did you know it was a thing before you kind of got into it, or tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I don't know how old you ladies are, how young you ladies are, but you know, when I was in high school, we took that little assessment and you like put in your skills and your interests. And then it like spits out a list of like the things you should be when you grow up. Well, when I did that, friendship coach was definitely not on that list. Like that was not a thing. And so I actually was a high school English teacher for 6 years before I got into PR. And then I got into PR and that's really fun. And so I always say I'm a publicist by day and a friendship coach by night. But the way that even happened was, you know, I was teaching high school seniors. And so naturally you hear girls complain in between classes. All the drama. Or they're coming to me after class and being like, oh, you know, she's not doing her work in the group project. And I'm like, well, why don't you tell her? Well, she's like my friend, and she would get mad. And it's, you know, so it's like, oh, so yeah. I made the mistake of when I left the classroom, I made the mistake of thinking, oh, teenage girls and their drama. And you think, oh, it's a young people thing. But when I got into PR and now I'm working with these top women at big companies and we're having private conversations about the business, there were too many times when the conversation would veer toward their friendships. Mm-hmm. And at that stage, they're talking about not having any friends because they're so career driven and focused. They don't invest the time in their, you know, friend groups, and then are, you know, lonely or wish that they had that, you know, connection. And so that's when I had that moment of like, oh, this is a thing. Like, no matter what age or season, your friendships are always going to be a thing. There's something going on. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I kind of got curious. And so I kind of went down the rabbit hole. I was looking up stuff. I was looking up friendship books. And I noticed like, well, dang, if you go on Amazon, there's tons of books for motherhood, like mom life. There's tons of things on like how to be a boss in the boardroom. If you want to be like, you know, a top CEO, there's all these things for your romantic relationship and dating books. There's virtually nothing for friendship. And that just kind of set me on like trying to figure things out. So I got coaching, or I got certified as a coach. So everybody's like, how do you get to be, there's no like, you know, friendship university in LA. Like there's no, like, it's not a thing. Right. But I got certified as a coach to make sure I had the skills and the technical stuff. But so much of it was what I was doing for almost 1,000 kids over my career, like teenagers, and listening and questioning. And so I got certified in coaching. But then on my own, I started doing research on female friendship and our history of it and the sociology, and you pair them together. And so it's funny because when I started, my friends and family were like, oh, you're going to be a friendship coach. Okay. And one time I was at a bookstore and a lady asked me what I do. And she was like, oh, friendship coach. Oh, is that even a thing? Like, and this was like a year ago. So it wasn't a thing. And I felt a little embarrassed. And I just, you know, confessed to my Instagram that 2 weeks prior to that video blowing up, I told my friends, like, I don't think I can do this anymore. It's not as profitable as my, you know, agency, and people don't get it. And like, I'm explaining it and they don't get it. And so I don't know. And then like a week later, that video blew up, and just everybody like, oh my God, that's so true. We need to be having this conversation. So it's just crazy to see how the journey moves. And sometimes you just have to hang in there. Like if you believe in it and you're like, this is a thing, but people don't see your vision, just keep going, because sometimes it's just a matter of timing for people to wake up and finally see what you see.
How many years have you been doing this?
A year and a half.
Okay. Oh my gosh, you're already
That little story you just told is so important for a lot of our listeners are like entrepreneurs or female coaches or online creators. So what you just described, I think, is the journey for so many different, you know, passion-filled, especially women. They're one stepping stone away from really hitting that breakthrough. But it's right before that breakthrough, things get really sticky and really tough. And that's when 95% of people are like, this isn't for me. I can't do this. And that's, I think, what separates the elite from, you know, the mediocre, is because it's so much easier to just say, nobody understands this. I'm not going to make money off of it. It's not going to transform people the way that I think it should. But it's just that you have to, the universe is testing you. You have to fight for your dream and your passions in order to break through just a little bit. So I think it's really cool what you just said to a lot of people, and that's going to resonate with a lot of people. They're probably going through the same exact thing that you did, and they're questioning whether or not their passions can play out in that big dream the way that they want it to. And so you may have just helped a lot of people, you know, not give up their fight. So thank you for sharing that little story. I think that's a super cool experience.
Yeah. And so when you're coaching, like in your, is it, so what exactly do you do in these coaching sessions? Like, is it, cause you know, we've talked to, someone on the podcast before that's like a love coach. So, you know, they do, you know, I know you talk about this a little bit on your socials, but, that, you know, maybe think of it as in the love way. Like, why are you, it's okay to think about it this way. Why not with friendships? So, which was really interesting. It kind of made it click more for me, but like, is it similar to maybe like if you were to go to see a love coach kind of thing, or like what kinds of things are you coaching women on?
Yeah. So it's funny because, excuse me, when I do get those looks at first, when it's like, oh, you're a friendship coach. That's cute. I'm like, mm-hmm. But as soon as I'm like, yeah, so that means that I'm equipped to help you if you're struggling with making friends in a new city or as a new mom or as a newly divorced woman who's starting over or whatever it is, I can help you with that. If you are struggling with having a hard conversation with a friend and life seasons have taken you in different spaces and you don't know how to reconcile that, or if you're still grieving a friendship loss, but there's no space in our culture to get support for that. Like if you go through a breakup with a guy, like we're all here for you and we know what to say. But if a female friend like devastates you, a lot of the attitude is like, oh, well, you know what? You're better off. Like cut her off anyway. There's like no space to like grieve it and to say like, damn, that really hurt my feelings. Like there's no space for that. And so as soon as I outline that, then people are like, oh my gosh. Okay. I get it. And so a session would look like, you know, you come on board, I guess, virtually now, mm-hmm. and we would spend an hour together. And it's mostly me posing prompting questions. And one thing about coaching, I got to be honest, is, you know, the issue with it is it's kind of an unregulated industry. So people mm-hmm. can just wake up and say, I'm a coach, but you know, mm-hmm. you really shouldn't be trying to give a ton of advice or diagnosing or talking about yourself. It's asking pointed prompting questions to help you to arrive at your own, like, oh my God, kind of moment. Mm-hmm. But I'm really big on action items. And so I know psychologists in this space and I know people who give you a lot of like the conceptual stuff and that is super important, but sometimes it leaves us like, right. But what do I do though? And so as a coach, I'm like, okay, so here are three things. I just want you to try it and see how it feels, but try this. And in the next week, we're going to talk about it and you better have done it. 'Cause I'm going to ask you. And so, to get emails from people that are like, oh my God, like I did the thing and it worked. Or you're right. I talked to her and I was totally wrong this whole time. She actually said that this was going on, you know, so all those things have been really cool to see it work and to see people see it work is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. I am a big fan of those tangible items like where you can actually, Lauren always makes fun of me because I'm like, okay, but what can I do? I need an action plan. We need a call of action. What are we going to do about this? So I'm a big believer in that. The same thing you're talking about, asking people, prompting those questions, because then it gets, I think their wheels start turning in a different way. So you don't know exactly what is going on in their mind, what could be happening, but I think it starts helping them realize what's going on subconsciously by having them talk about their own feelings. So I think that's a super cool thing. When Lauren told me that you were a friendship coach, I immediately was just like, oh, duh. Mm-hmm. So it's funny that people question this. I'm like, every relationship needs some type of coach or therapist or, you know, to help you kind of work through those issues, because every relationship that you have is going to have those hurdles. It doesn't matter what it is. So I think it's amazing that you're kind of pioneering the way for this little space. I'm mm-hmm. a huge fan of anything that can help you get through things a little bit easier, more efficient, especially as an entrepreneur myself and a mom. I'm like, whatever can help me get through everything a little bit easier, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, agree.
And Danielle, you're a mom also, right?
Yes, I have a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And you just have your hands full. So you're just doing all these things. Got a 2-year-old.
In a pandemic?
Yeah, it's been really crazy. But it's been fun. It's been fun. And friends and family are supportive of all the things I'm trying to do. And I even struggle with that. You know, these days, I think I read something recently. I don't want to misquote it, but it was talking about how like by the year 2032 or something like that, that more than like 70% of people will be working gigs. Like it's normal to be doing like 8 different things. And so it's tough sometimes when people are like, oh, what do you do? And we expect like the one line answer. And so I had to craft mine to make it like quickly understandable. Oh, publicist by day, friendship coach by night. But I know that's going to be what'd you say? You know, so it's just interesting, like being a woman or, you know, an entrepreneur who has a lot of different passions and you're like, well, I have to make this make sense to other people, all the things that I do. And it's like, but you don't though, you know, and from a PR perspective though, I tell my clients as a publicist, you know, maybe you do want to tailor it based on like, well, what audience are you talking to? And that's something you talk about. So you're not going to hear me talk about PR stuff and try to get a bunch of things in, but you know, if you have a bunch of talents or interests, why should you have to tame them a little bit so that it can make sense to other people? You know?
Yeah, that's fair.
I totally agree with that.
And I know like I know the number one question you get, which is probably what I would have as well. I've never really had to fully move like to a different state or anything, but I feel like either moving to a different state and trying to make new friends, I don't even know how you would start that. But also I feel like even just in the same state, but like leaving school, like graduating college and stuff and like moving to, you know, like we live in Atlanta. So like just moving just into the city, you know, like it's equally as hard, even if I did know a couple people to get my, you know, to get me started. So what would you say kind of like, what's your go-to advice for that kind of situation?
Yeah. So it's funny because people, it's like the number one question. It always is like, oh, how do I make friends? And then it's followed by some qualifier. So it's always, how do I make friends as a freshman in college? How do I make friends during the pandemic? I'm a new mom and I feel like I need mom friends. Like, how do I do this? I think a lot of us are surprised by the fact that it's something you have to do over and over. We used to think like, oh, you're in school, you move to a new school when you're young, but every season's going to move you to a new space and you got to do it again. So it's like, we might as well learn how to do this. The first thing I always say is before we can talk like steps, we got to get your mind right, you know, at the risk of sounding life coachy, but you know, the first mistake that we make is thinking that the phrase making new friends and meeting new people are the same thing, and they're not.
Right.
And so making friends is the art of creating a meaningful relationship with another person. And who says that you have to start that from scratch with a new person? A lot of us are sitting on opportunity, but we dismiss those people as, you know, well, that's my friend's friend, or yeah, I like her, but she's too, nah, I don't know, she's like too young, or she's too this, she's too nerdy, she's not nerdy enough, you know, whatever our reasons are. And we've dismissed a lot of people and we're sitting on opportunity. And so I'm like, why don't you start there with a friend of a friend or a coworker? A lot of us make friends with coworkers just because we see them all the time. And one key component of making friends is repeated exposure. That's why we become friends with our coworkers and neighbors, because I see you for hours a week. And so the first thing I always say is before we start talking about meeting new people, what relationships are you already sitting on that you haven't even bothered to cultivate, that you have taken off the list of possible potential friends, and start there with like extending that conversation, maybe 2 more minutes, or asking them about themselves or whatever it is, but you've got opportunity in front of you. But when it comes to meeting new people, especially virtually, you know, a lot of us are doing Zoom type things and all that. So one thing I suggest is whenever you are in a virtual class or virtual group or virtual meeting, to be attentive and observant. And people who say funny things, or they say something insightful, or they ask a question, following up with that meeting with a more personal like DM or email and saying, hey, oh my God, thank you for asking that question in the meeting today, because I wanted to ask, but I didn't want to put myself out there. So like, I'm so glad that you did. Just that got something started with a person I don't know. And so one key of making friends is taking people from a group setting to an individual setting. So a lot of us, I always say like extroverts sometimes.
Just like in dating. Yeah, you got
to single them out. I know, everyone's always like, so you mean get them alone, like a college frat guy who's like, hey, girl, and I'm like, exactly.
Yes.
Do that.
Zach, now you get it. Yes. But, you know, it's so much competition and it's so loud, like in the public town square of social media, it's so loud, and we're like, oh, well, I commented. You mean like you commented in a sea of other comments and you said something like cool video? Like, what does that do? But as soon as I can like get you one-on-one where people tend to be more of themselves and I don't have the distraction of other people and I'm asking you a question about yourself or saying something meaningful, now I've got your attention and I'm a little more like top of mind. So something like taking people from a group setting to one-on-one, even virtually, would be another step. And then another thing, because we have like an ebook coming soon to like scripts and tips on what to say. But, you know, one last thing I'll say here is also interest groups. And I know people roll their eyes at like, okay, yeah. And we've heard it 100 times and we want like something fresh. But the reason why interest groups are important is because you don't have to worry about, okay, if I start talking this person up, do I look desperate? Like, do I look clingy? And we're self-conscious. Are they interested? If you go to an interest group, you're already working at the baseline that everybody is interested in making friends. So it should minimize any fear of rejection or wondering if they're here for the same reasons. Everybody's there to make friends. So you don't have to worry about awkwardness of getting started. We've established that we have the same objective. And that right there should make it like easy to put yourself out there because you're all in the same boat. And the last thing I'll say is when you go to those interest groups, do not go one time and be like, okay, that was cool. Like I didn't really meet anybody. I tried it, like whatever. Because of what I said earlier about repeated exposure, making us familiar with each other. We'll go one time, be like, nah, I didn't find my people. They were kind of weird. I don't know. I'm over it. And we go to the next thing and we keep making ourselves start over. But if you go, I always say three times, at least three times. So going to one of those groups that meets every week, like every Thursday, they do a thing, go to that because then now you see people. Now, if somebody mentioned that their dog was sick, next week you can be like, hey, you mentioned your dog was sick. Like what happened with that? And I'm building upward. So those would be the things to kind of get started. If you're like, I want to be intentional about making friends. Those would be three things I would suggest to keep in mind.
That's so cool.
Those are great tips. Mm-hmm. When you were telling those tips, I was like, oh my gosh, most of my friends have been my really good, best girlfriends have all been from building blocks of exactly what you were just describing. Mm-hmm. And I guess I assumed by nature, I'm just a very curious person. So I always am looking for a lot of like self disclosures. So like I ask a lot of questions and the people I'm usually the nosiest about end up being like my best friends. And the way you were just describing that is it probably just makes them feel like I'm very interested in them. But there's probably a reason that I am asking so many questions because I am actually attracted to their energy. So I want to know more about them. And then those end up being all of my best friends.
Tiffany,
so those are great tips.
So good. Because the research shows that the number one subject that people like to talk about is themselves. Like our brain is like activated. We get excited to talk about ourselves. So the fact that you're like, wait, tell me more about that. Wait, where are you from? What part? Wow, that is so interesting. People are walking away probably from you thinking like, God, I really like her. And it's one, because you're wonderful, but two, because it's like you let them do what we like to do. And so, you know, that's one of our other tips is, you know, exercising curiosity. But sometimes we're so like, well, I want people who get me. I'm looking for people who get me. And we just take that into it and we're like assessing if she gets me instead of being curious about other people. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of one thing too, is kind of that selfish mindset unintentionally that we go into it.
Mm-hmm. Because you want everyone to know everything about you, but a lot of times you can let people know about you by asking questions. So inadvertently by asking, you know, what do you do for fun? What sports do you like? What kind of workouts do you do? I'm actually letting you know, like, I'm interested in workouts because I'm asking you if you work out. So that could be a commonality. If you don't do a workout at all, then you know, obviously you're not into that. And then I'm like, okay, well, we're not even going to talk about that, on to the next thing. And then I think you do find common ground by asking questions. And I think I just discovered that right now, right here with you. I am today years old when I realized that you can uncover a lot about yourself by asking questions about other people.
That's good.
We love to see it.
Well,
I was gonna say, I feel like my problem isn't making friends. I feel like I've done a pretty good job of like meeting people anywhere I go, but like wherever I worked and, you know, things like that. But I feel like my problem is creating the deeper friendships. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've noticed, I think, more than any. Well, I mean, quarantine has exposed a lot of things. And besides, you know, besides like the actual COVID part, it's just exposed a lot of things like about work and about life and love and friendships. And, you know, I think something I've noticed on the friendship level is I'm like, I don't know if I really have a lot of friends. Like I would just like, I mean, I have like a maybe two or three like close friends that I know I can like do anything with and it'll be fun. It'll be great. And you know, I don't get sick of them. And, but there's really not, cause you know, before quarantine, I'm 28, I'll be 29 in like a month. I'm so old. But I, you know, before quarantine, I would go out a lot, you know, we'd go to bars and like, I would go out with a bunch of different people and, you know, it didn't really matter who I went out with. Cause I would meet people out or, you know, we're drunk. So like, we're all fun. Like, and there's music and it's not necessarily like a place where you need to have like a deep conversation. So I feel like it was easier to hang out with people then. And now I'm like, I don't really want to hang out with some people, some of these people. And like, I also am like, I don't know who to call. Who am I calling right now? Do I even have friends anymore? Like, you know, and I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm not alone in this in quarantine, but what have you noticed? Like, what's like a, if there is even a statistic on this, there might not be, but like, what do you think is a, consider like a normal amount of like close friends?
Oh my gosh. I was going to ask this question also. If there was like a magic number of really good friends.
There is.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Tiffany, there's a number for this.
Oh my God. I'm so happy.
You're going to love it.
I love when people are like, but I don't know if there's research on that. I'm like, oh.
You must be a Virgo, Danielle.
I'm okay. So I'm a Cancer. I don't know like what that means, but.
That makes sense. I know.
People are like,
okay, that was my next guess.
Was it? Okay. So yeah. You're very like astute. So, okay. So
we talk about it all the time. It comes up in every podcast. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all right. Check. Horoscopes for this podcast.
We did it.
Okay. So here's the thing about how many friends do I need? So there was a study at the University of Kansas and they were attempting to try to quantify friendships. Now I have some grapples, you know, some gripes with it because, you know, I don't know, like when you try to put numbers around something that's just so intangible like that, mm-hmm, but right. They tried, right? And right. So what they found was they found out how many hours it takes to make a friend. Mm-hmm. And there's also research about how many friends you should have. So I'll say two. So the first thing is that to make an associate, like to feel like, oh, I'm familiar with this person, takes 50 hours, 50. So that's like a little more than a full work week together to feel like, oh, we're associates. Mm-hmm. They estimate that it takes 90 to feel like that's my friend. And then 200 hours together to feel like that is my best friend. And so sometimes I joke, like, I wonder if we had like a clock or a counter on our foreheads, if we'd be more intentional about spending time together, because you'd see like, ooh, okay, we're 36 hours in, mm-hmm, let's have a coffee date. But what happens is we think that we're going to like make a friendship on texts every week. And then we're wondering why, like, why don't I feel closer to you? Well, quite mm-hmm literally, how much time are you spending together? So that's the first component of like, I'm trying to create depth in my friendships. How much time are you spending together? So that'd be the first thing to your question of, I feel like I want something deeper. And no, you are not alone in that. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to like, I want depth. And then also like, how many friends is normal? There's something called Dunbar's number. An evolutionary psychologist was doing a study on how many associations we can have. And so he found that our brains only had the mental capacity for 150 connections. Now, I think that social media...
That's a lot.
Imagine, I wish I could like share my screen, get my slides, but imagine a circle of 150, right? And then smaller circles inside of that. So I would get smaller and smaller. Five is this tiny circle in the middle. And that's representative of how many close friendships you can have. So as we get smaller, it's like your big network, 150 is all you have the brain power for. But then like we get smaller to like, okay, work associates, okay, people who are in your realm of influence, and then the close ones. And he estimates five, that you have the mental capacity for five. Because think about it, in order to nurture those friendships, I have to listen to you, I have to show up to you, you have to talk to me, we're talking, we're spending time, I'm taking on your emotional burdens, I'm trying to learn you. I can't possibly do that with 15, 20 people. I just can't. And I feel like having that information should make some of us breathe a sigh of relief when we do feel tired. Cause we're like, I'm trying to like, make sure I see all my friends this week. And it's like all your friends, you're trying to do that with 10 people. That's exhausting. Yeah. But that's also why I argue that I think a lot of extroverts are really lonely, because we're good for going to a party and we want to work the room and we want to talk to everybody, like, oh my God, hey, oh, hey. And we work the room. So we'll walk out from the party feeling like, okay, I saw everybody, but we don't really feel like connected. And that's because the introvert sat in the corner and had a 40-minute conversation with two people and left feeling like I was seen tonight. Like made something like meaningful with these people. I feel good. But it's because they're okay with going deep with a few. And so to answer your question about how many should I have, what's normal, how do I create depth, go ahead and prioritize your few people and go deep with them, because you'll probably be more connected than those of us who are trying to have squad goals over here with 25 mm-hmm. people. You're going to mm-hmm. feel more connected. And with the five people, get this, he says that if you have a romantic relationship, that takes up two of the five spaces because of how
I was going to ask you if those, because I mean, that's a friend, if that held a big space.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully that just, like, you know, and I don't know, everybody's like, oh wait, so I have six. So wait, which one is, and I'm like, okay. Well, you know, so it's not super strict, but it helps to make mm-hmm. those of us who feel like I only have two friends to know that is totally normal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How important, that makes a lot of sense.
How important do you think it is? Because sorry, I'm just like, you're my personal friendship coach now. But I think another struggle, like post college, obviously, is like people's lives are changing. Like, I mean, not my life has changed, but not in the way that some of my friends have changed. You know, like I'm single. I live by myself. I have cat, like no kids, nothing like that. And so, but I have so many friends, especially, I mean, we live in Georgia. So you're in the South, and like so many of my friends, all of my friends almost from college they're married and or have kids at this point. And I feel like it's just like harder to keep up with those friendships, or like almost like sometimes I feel like they just like feel bad for me or something. And I'm like, don't, like, I feel bad for you sometimes. Like, you know, having to have in quarantine, like children, and I can't, you have people around you all the time, but like, you know, how important do you think it is to have friends that you've kind of, like, your lives have kind of gone in different directions maybe, but like you still love them and care about them. But like, you know, I can't necessarily relate to somebody who's a mom and has been married for a few years, and they probably think I'm like insane, you know, pre-quarantine, especially, just like going out and drinking and like, you know, hanging out with new people all the time. And like, they probably can't wrap their head around that. They're like, that's, your life is exhausting. When, like, how important do you think it is? Like, how realistic is it to have, like, maintain, like, multiple friendships through all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's totally normal. You know, okay, I'm going to nerd out. Research says,
love it.
Get to 24, like before you hit the age of around 24, uh-huh. your social group grows exponentially, which makes sense. We're in school.
Right. Now, mm-hmm.
But then at 24, it shrinks significantly. And that becomes, right, the time when you're prioritizing everything else. I'm starting to date somebody seriously, and I am having kids, and I'm getting really serious about my career right now. And so friendship tends to get pushed to the margins of our lives because we got other things going on. So it makes sense that all these new priorities would start to gradually spin us around in different directions. And we look up and we're like, oh my God, where did you go? So that's totally normal. I do think it's worth keeping in mind what I said earlier about, like, well, who do you want your top five to be? Or back in MySpace days, your top eight.
I was going to say, your top eight. It was really controversial back then too.
That was, I think, the worst idea.
Oh, talk about girl drama. Oh my God. I think 99% of that.
Did you move me to number five? Like, wow. That was
what did I do? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a horrible idea. Oh my God. And so, you know, who are your people? Because if life takes you in different directions, that's okay. But you need to figure out, okay, well, who do you intentionally want to pour into, put on the calendar and all those things? Because you can't do it with everyone. But a lot of times we're like, should we be friends or not? And I feel like we shouldn't be. And it's like, there can be like space in the middle. I can still say, I care about you. I'm remembering your birthday. I'm sending birthday stuff to your kids, but I'm not going to maybe flag you down every weekend to talk. Unless the relationship is important to you and you're like, listen, life is taking us in different directions, but you are not going anywhere. You are my person. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure this out. And if that's the case, you know, one thing could be trying to show some interest in her new interests would be one thing. Because I know sometimes as friends, we tend to only have our history. So every time we get together, it's like, wait a second. Every time we get together, we're just reminiscing about the past. That could be one signifier that it's time to move on. If that's all you have is like college memories, that's all you ever talk about, that's fine. But if you really have to get to the nitty gritty of like, okay, I think I have to like trim some people off a little bit because I can't do it all, we'll use that as one of your determinants. Okay, we're only talking about the past. Another one would be if you start to feel like it's a lot of energy to hang out and you don't want to. That sounds bad. But if you're like, God, I don't even really want to keep this up, then Yeah, I mean, that's an indicator. Again, you don't ghost people or anything like that, because that's, you know, not classy. But at the same time, like, if you're like, man, every time we get on the phone, I'm like, let me figure out what to say. That's an indicator of like, maybe you've outgrown each other, and that's okay. And simply, if you just don't have any shared interests anymore, it's okay. And so really get clear on those 3 to 5 people and keep in touch as you can with the others. But if you really want them to be in your life, try to find a way to share their interests, ask them questions about the baby. And you're like, I don't want to have a conversation about butt paste, like I'm diaper cream.
Right. Yeah. But
you know, like, but how's the baby's butt? You know, how's that? You know, let me act like I'm interested. And then also putting things on the calendar. Like, it's not very sexy and we've never had to do that before. But if you're like, no, we have to stay in touch, then you're like, hey, listen, Thursday's gonna be our night when we take 30 minutes and we keep back in touch. I know for me, when I got married and had kids, I was the kind of the first in my group to do it. And I remember kind of feeling like, where did my friends go? And then when we kind of got back in our rhythm, I asked them like, man, I've been missing you. You know, where have you been? And to hear them say like, oh, I thought you'd be bored of my life, or I know that you have things going on. I feel like this, it's what I'm doing is dumb. And it's like, I need you to remind me of who I am outside of motherhood. I don't want to talk about your crazy date. Like, let's unpack that, you know? And so it was like communicating like, oh, you're about to write me off because you think I can't relate, but I need you because I need to just be Danielle and not mom. And you help me do that. So, you know, it's just about communicating and trying, and I think you'll be good to go.
Yeah. Lauren, it's funny that you say that, because you were saying that a lot of, like, you know, quote unquote family women may not understand or think that your life is crazy.
You
so
don't
like
count
as a I do count. I am a person, okay?
No,
just
you don't count.
I'm a cool mom.
No, because your daughter Eliza is also my daughter. So like that doesn't count.
But I was gonna say
co-parenting.
As a family woman, I think that your life is very interesting and cool, and I would never look at you and be like, oh, that's an exhausting life. Like, I think
I look at my own life sometimes and I'm like, God, I am exhausting.
Well, I mean, I think that your true friends will see and understand and be empathetic to what you're going through, regardless of, you know, that journey or season of your life, because like that's your friend. And I think the most beautiful friendships will grow and evolve together and kind of take it for what it is, and you're present to that moment. So like, even when you were going through your craziest shit with like a dating show,
we don't need
and
to
whatever.
we don't need to go.
There was no moment I feel like, because I think maybe, I mean, again, I could be, because I'm very intentional about everything I do, because when you were Danielle, when you were talking about introverts are different, I am, you would never know it probably right now in this moment, but deep down to my core, I am so deeply introverted. But I think that's why I'm comfortable with, I have 2 or 3 really, really good friends. And then I have my partner who I've been with for 5 years. And when I talk to those people, we get, I hate small talk. Like, ask me about my day and everything. I'm just like, oh my God, this is like, you hate me. Can we talk about something like we really like each other? Like, let's get deep quick. I want to get deep quick. That's what she said.
Hey.
I just totally lost my
I was about to say, it looked like your face.
You're an introvert. You're an introvert to your core, and your 5 people are like your people.
So, Lauren, when you're talking about those things, maybe I just deeply care about everything you're going through. So I'm really present to what you're going through. So I never think it's crazy. I think it's really beautiful and cool to see you evolve as a human. But again, maybe that's because I'm in a different, I don't necessarily fall under the category of like a normal person, because deeply care about
Yeah, but Everything I met you, I met you or when you already had a kid, and you were basically, you just started, like you had started dating the guy that you've been dating like a month, like 2 months after we met. So it was like, I've always kind of known you, and we've always, that's always been a thing. But like, I feel like my friends from college, especially like, or high school, I only have like literally one person I talk to still from high school, but you know, that's more of where I have the struggle. Cause it's like, almost like, well, I mean, I still like really love you, but like, you don't really live near me. Like you don't, you know, and more like pre-quarantine, I'm like go out obviously during COVID, but like, you know, it's like, you don't, they don't really want to do the similar, you know, similar things, or like they always want to bring their husband or their boyfriend. And I'm like, sometimes I just don't want to hang. I don't want to be a third wheel or a fifth wheel or a seventh wheel. Like, you know, I want to just hang out with you and maybe we could talk about your boyfriend or your husband, like get the dirty deets. Cause I can't, you can't do that when they're here round, you know? but like, you know, and it's hard sometimes. And sometimes I'm like, all right, I'm going to stop asking you to hang out. Cause I don't, if you say, like, if you've turned me down a few times, I'm like, okay, sure. You're too busy with your new, I will say I am not a good friend when it comes to my friends getting into relationships, or getting married or, you know, something like that. Cause I'm like, I automatically assume that they are busy, and that's not something it's something I try to not be so bad at. And I catch myself doing it over the last like few years, but I mean, it makes me feel bad. Cause they're like, well, I miss you. Like you never asked me to hang out, but I'm also like, well, you never asked me to hang out. Like, I don't know. Where's that line of like, well, like you don't ask me and I don't ask you, like, you can't get mad at me. You're not asking me either. You know, like, and they assume I'm busy cause they, you know, they'll see me like be bopping around town doing whatever, or they assume that I am, but really I'm just like sitting alone in my apartment, like watching Netflix, and I'm like running on Netflix shows. Like, okay, I got to hang out with people now.
But couldn't that just be an indicator that they're not in your like top, you know, what Danielle was saying, you're like top five. Like it's okay to just be okay with them. You not having to extend yourself beyond that five.
I don't know. I have like a top like two or three, I feel like, and I will, I mean, Tiffany, obviously you're there.
I take up two, Tiffany, bitch, okay? She is my, I am your wife.
She's my two.
I take she's up a lot of time.
Two. She's my top two. And, you know, I have, okay, so if we're counting Tiffany's two, I maybe have like four. And we'll count my cat, so there's five. But
we've hijacked Danielle's male, time. We do this every time. Though.
Yeah, sorry. but, you know, I don't know. I just sometimes feel like I'm really good at creating like even like mid-level friends. Mm-hmm. And then it's really hard for me to like get into a deeper level of friendship. And I'm just like, and I think that's why it maybe gets to me more if like someone gets a boyfriend, I'm like, okay, well I have five other people I can hang out with. And so I don't know. I don't know if I consider myself a good friend to some people or good friends sometimes. And I don't want to be that person, but basically I'm a good friend, rambling at this point. I really went on a tangent there, but I mean, what do you think is a, like maybe like a couple questions or like a good indicator that like this is, a, or like how to get deeper on a deeper level with some people?
Yeah. So,
or that maybe that you should go on a deeper level with those people, I guess. Like, how do you
know? You'll know because if you desire it, like if you feel like, man, I'm, you know, to Tiffany's point, I'm curious about her, or I want to get to know her better, or I really like her, but I feel like it's not enough. All those, you'll know if you want to go deeper with somebody instantly. I think the question becomes like, how do I do that without her feeling like I'm imposing, without looking like I'm clingy, without looking, and what if she rejects me? What if I put myself out there to try to get intentional about this, but she's not feeling it and I feel awkward? So we all have all those, you know, thoughts. We share those fears and apprehensions. So Shasta Nelson, she's, you know, a friendship expert, and she has this thing called like the triangle of frontimacy, or the three components of friendship. And so she says that there are three components that you need to start having.
The first one is you have to find a deep, dark secret and hold against them.
You found the secret. Like, why am I here? That's literally, yeah,
that's actually the number one.
Blackmail. You need blackmail.
And then it's like, you're my friend for life now.
That's how me and Tiffany got, that's how we got here.
That's kind of why I was like saying that, because she has a lot of drunk videos of me.
I'm notorious for like, I get my Snapchat. I don't post anything. I just take a lot of videos sometimes, and when we're all drinking, and then I just have a lot of good embarrassing
Queen
videos.
Queen of blackmail, I'm telling you.
Yeah. I don't ever do anything with them.
Okay, Danielle, anyway. You're saying the triangle.
No, that's good. I was going to say the first line, the first side of the triangle is Snapchats. And
Yes.
I knew it.
So, if you, I always say, if you feel like something's missing, like I want to be deeper, but something's missing, it's one of three things. Consistency, vulnerability, or positivity. that all those three things have to be working for you to feel close. So let's imagine without one of them. If we don't have consistency, mm-hmm. but we are positive when we're together, it's like relatively like upbeat, good vibes for the most part. Mm-hmm. And we are vulnerable with each other when we get together, but I don't see you frequently mm-hmm. or talk to you, then I can't possibly feel connected to you because we're punching in like every 6 months. So right. we have to have consistency on some level, right? If yeah. you know, we have consistency and I see you a lot and it's positive when I see you a lot, but we don't have vulnerability. So we never really go deep, and that means yeah. it's going to stay surface. And then finally, if we are vulnerable, we get deep and I see you often and we're getting deep and I see you often, but there's no positivity. So every time we come together, somebody's emotionally dumping or we're co-ruminating, which means we're like going in a loop together about like life is just like the worst and somebody's on, then we can't get like feel close either because there's too mm-hmm. much negativity and complaining and just like
makes you feel bad when you leave.
Yeah. Mm. So you don't even feel good about the time that you did spend. And so yeah. those are kind of like three indicators. And I like that imagery because when you do feel like, man, something's missing, like that kind of helps put you in the direction of it's probably one of those. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
The action. Dang, that breakdown, made, as soon as you started saying that, I started thinking of friends that I just didn't evolve into that closeness. Mm-hmm. And it was either one of those things. Like I didn't feel like there was enough self-disclosure. So I felt like they were closed off or weird or hiding something, which I find for me, like self-disclosure is the most important. I feel like I need to have that vulnerability in order to feel like you trust me and are connected to me. So like, I need you to spill all your dirty, dark secrets right off the bat, or like we're dead.
It's a no for me.
So when you're describing that, it's usually one of those things. You're right. Yeah. That's a great, I love that.
Well, cause okay. I used to think until just now that I feel like this, I thought this was a good thing, and maybe it is on some level, maybe not for like the deeper friendships or creating deeper friendships, but I've always like prided myself, I thought until today, on being that friend. And people have told me this, someone literally this weekend, I reconnected with a friend who asked me who her bridesmaid, and like, I've known her for, you know, since like right before senior year of high school. So it's been a long time. And, you know, people like who have been in my life for a long time, like high school or college. I think those are the hardest friendships for me because they're not people who live near me necessarily. But people will always say like, oh my, like when they hang out, when we do hang out, they're like, oh my God, you're so fun to be with LC. Like we always just pick right up where we left off. And then we like, don't talk for, you know, months or weeks or whatever until the next time we'll hang out. And so I've always kind of prided myself on being able to just like jump back in where we left off, but I don't know, maybe that's not a good thing.
I mean, I think that's important. Cause I hear that a lot, like on Twitter and stuff, people will be like, oh my God, like I don't have to talk to my best friend for like 6 years at a time. And we just like,
yeah, I'm like, we'll jump back into it.
So I'm always like, it doesn't discount your friendship. If yeah. you love what it does for you at the end of the day and no one's complaining and everybody feels like we have like this chemistry, that's probably what you guys have. Like we have chemistry. I know there's a friend I have, we don't talk too often, but when we do, it's like so easy. But at the same yeah. time, I couldn't tell you, like, I don't know the latest happenings in her life because we don't talk often. I know when we get together, it's going to be a good time and I'm going to feel like, God, I love you. Like, this is why I love you. But yeah. I don't really know what her like latest realist problem is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening at work. I don't know. Right. I can't really integrate myself. So there's that. But again, if it works for you two and everybody's happy and thriving, you know, then that works.
Question it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost sounded like, you know, that description, I know that there may be a different way to look at it, but it sounded like if you don't have those three things, and you're questioning why this isn't a good fit, that could be qualifiers for why it isn't a good fit. So it's either one, not consistent, two, you're not vulnerable, or three, there's no positivity. So I think that could be like a mm-hmm. different, if you're looking at it from a different side and questioning why you're not getting that, mm-hmm. that level of like satisfaction, that just could be a qualifier. Why? So like yeah. you can still have a great friendship if you don't necessarily have all of those three things at the same time. But if you're wondering why you're not satisfied with the friendship, it could be, if you look at those three things, mm-hmm. why, you know, something's not lining up or everything doesn't jive the way that you would expect it to. At yeah. least that's what as soon as you guys both said your explanations, what I thought of.
And it gives, yeah, it should be data for us. Like we, you know, I hear a lot of, you know, we have a membership, the Friend Forward app. You can download it where we download. We have a membership, and a lot of the women, they will, there's a lot of conversation around, you know, where your friends are lacking, or it's like cut off. Like, well, she's close or she's not. Like, do I need to cut her off? Like, how do I know? And I get, and I'm just like, okay, that's information for you. So even to know those three triangle sides, and if we're feeling like something's off, like, I don't know, I haven't seen her lately. So I guess, I mean, if she wants to be done, maybe it's just run its course. No, that's data. That's intel. So if I'm like, God, I don't see her enough. Right. Okay, great. So what are we going to do with that information? Mm-hmm. I just believe that there are way too many female friendships that are ending prematurely because we don't want to do anything, or because we made a whole interpretation of this thing and she didn't even like say it, but we're like, oh, well, she didn't respond the right way when I said that thing about my promotion. So I wonder if that means that she, and had a whole freaking conversation. So we're ending a lot of friendships early because we're just making up what we thought she said. We're avoiding an awkward conversation and we'd rather kind of gradually distance. And so if we're willing to like put in work, you know, even that, you know, like we don't, a lot of us still don't think you should have to work to make a friendship happen. And that's not our fault. There's a lot of stuff where we see, you know, making friendships being easy, or we have that fantasy of like, you know, you're in the Starbucks line and the girl behind you says something funny and you guys like make eyes and you're like, oh my God, like you're my person. And so we like have this fantasy of like, everybody I meet, I'm either gonna love you or not. But why is it not like that? Like in the romantic sphere, we don't do that. Like if you go on a date with a guy and it was kind of okay, you're like, I mean, I guess I'll give him a second chance. I don't know. We'll do that with our partner, but with a friend, we're like, I don't know, I wasn't feeling her, like she made this joke, I didn't get it. So
God, I was just gonna ask you when you were describing that, do you believe it's societal that, you know, like I believe, you know, especially between females, it's so important to cultivate these friendships, because I mean the connection is really important for our day-to-day. I think especially when you are with, like, if you have a romantic partner and you know, things are not good, I think those friendships a lot of times will help you get through difficult times. Like it's the vulnerability and helping you kind of work through and navigate some difficult situations. Do you think it's society and pop culture and movies that have made us think that we should fight for romantic relationships, but not fight for our female friendships? Like, is that biological or is that something that we've been taught?
There's not really a lot of movies that I can think of off the top of my head that are like, about creating
fighting
friends.
For your friend.
Yeah. It's always like the friends are already there and you're trying, it's like a rom-com. They're like on the side characters trying to like, you know, with your love story. Like that's kind of interesting actually.
I
we
do.
Need some friendship movies, okay?
I know. I actually, yes, I have
friend rom-coms.
Like, idea. I can't say now, but I do have this like whole
we just
idea.
Stole her Netflix pitch.
Oh no.
Okay, yes, I have
moving on.
Moving on. Okay.
Yeah.
But yes, I do. I think a lot of it's cultural. Like I think it's how we condition ourselves. Like think about it. The whole thing is like, are you married yet? Are you married yet? Like, oh my God, you got married. Congratulations. Oh my God, that's amazing. Like it's like that is the thing that we're after. And we even see our friends like, yeah, they're nice, but like I'm still looking for like my guy. And so it's like that is the thing that we're looking for, romantic love. And then once you get that, ooh. And I think a lot of women honestly get a little disappointed because you feel like everything will be better once you just get married. And so even having that expectation that your romantic partner will also be your satisfy all your friends needs. Let me say it like that, because friendship should be the foundation of romantic love, but you know, but that
this your person, only friend
and this person will be all the things. It's just and then especially like, you know, and leaving your female friendships and trying to replace that with, you know, especially if it's like male female relationship and replace that, nothing will replace female friendship. And I don't mean to overgeneralize, and I know everybody's like, super progressive now, but we are wired differently for the most part. And women, the way we communicate is different. And so when we're communicating with each other, that's going to look different, generally speaking, than, you know, because honestly, we're conditioned, men and women, we're conditioned differently. So if I'm talking to a guy, I'm having a cross-cultural conversation. You like are talking differently. The things that you want to emphasize in the conversation are different. So there's just something different and unique and special about female friendship. And if we keep seeing that as a nice to have, or worse, some women who are like, I just have guy friends. I can't.
God. This was, again, my next question.
This was one of my questions I wrote down.
Is this not, am I crazy for if a female says this to me, cause I am a girl's girl. Like I love girls. I love everything about girls. I just love them so much. There's so much beauty between the friendship and the camaraderie. So when someone says, you know, like a hot girl says, I just can't do girls.
I'm always a
guy's girl. I'm like, I don't trust you. You're for sure going to fuck my boyfriend.
Like, I don't know. Girls just don't like me. I'm like, Okay. I will say though,
I don't know. That's always, that's not the case.
I wasn't that girl. Like I had female friends in high school, but I feel like really genuinely a lot of girls in my high school just did not like me. And there was no reason. I didn't even hardly ever date anyone. I never really kissed anyone's boyfriend, like nothing like that. I was like, I don't know why people just don't like me. And I was in theater. So like I had a lot of theater friends and like there's actually a lot of guys in our theater department, surprisingly, straight guys too. And, so I just had a lot of a group of guy friends. And then obviously once they all got girlfriends, I was isolated from that group again, but then I was in college and I joined I found a lot of female friends in college, but, and I definitely became like more of a girl's girl then. But in some ways I'm like, okay, maybe they're just like, you know, not comfortable necessarily with, how females are, or they've had some bad experiences with females in the past, rumors or just being catty, and they're just like, I don't want to deal with it. Boys are just as catty, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like they're not less catty. how do you help people? I mean, do you have clients? I'm sure you probably do, but like you talk to people that are like, girls don't like them kind of people.
Totally.
How would you help them?
Yeah, it's so funny because on the surface, our initial reaction is to roll our eyes. They'd be like, oh my God, girl. Mm-hmm. And what's so funny, for a little while, like when I first went to college, like my first year, I was that girl. I was like, I jive better with guys. You know what I mean? Like and now I understand that two things. One, that's internalized misogyny because you're trying to show I'm not like girls because I'm cool and different. So assumption is that girls are horrible and I'm not like them because I'm cool, I'm different, I'm so mellow, I'm smart. I play
video games.
I have complicated hobbies. So just saying that is you're saying something negative about your whole entire gender. So right there, that's a problem because you believe the lies and stereotypes about your own group. So that's the first problem. Right. The second problem with that is I've noticed that a lot of those girls are hurt. You were not allowed in a group before, maybe in the sixth grade, and you're like, I hate girls, or you feel like
point of trauma. Hobby,
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it's like a point of trauma. As soon as Lauren was saying it, I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense.
That's for sure. It was just high school, elementary school, middle school, college, after college. I've always had like a solid group of female friends of some sort. Yeah. High school, for whatever reason, I just didn't. I had like two or three like really close girlfriends, and then the rest were guys. So,
yeah. And it makes sense to me that happened kind of at those times because you do start to kind of, you know, understand more or heal from the fresh wound of these girls isolating you. And then to your point earlier, you know, the whole like, but girls are so, and it's like, oh, so you're upset and hurt and disappointed because a girl let you down and talked behind your back. And because she's a person. and people, we let each other down intentionally or unintentionally. So if you feel like you're going to somehow escape that, if you say, I'm not dealing with women, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So
there's no escaping it.
Yeah, we are fallible. We let each other down. We say mean things. We get insecure and we try to keep you out of the group, but it's because we're insecure that you being in the group is going to threaten my spot in the group. And you know, so, so, you know, you don't learn those things obviously until we get older, then we understand and we can look back and be like, what was I thinking? Yeah. But a lot of those girls, the whole, I'm so different, I don't do women. It's so funny because I'm like, right now you need us.
Yeah.
Like you need us. The fact that you're saying that.
Yeah.
Or the last thing, sorry, is that you think that you don't have traditionally feminine interests and you're like, oh, so girls won't even get me. And I'm like, well then find another girl who doesn't have traditionally feminine interests, you know? So, So it's sad because they're missing out on all that they could have with female friendship.
Yeah. So you think more times than not, it's just either they have had bad experiences with other females or so you think more times than not, it's just because they've been hurt.
I really do. I think it's either internalized misogyny. So you think bad things about women. And so you're like, oh no, I'm not like them. It's like, but who gave you that? Like who downloaded that in your brain? Or because you've had your feelings hurt. And we don't like to say that as adults because it feels childish, but you had your feelings really hurt and you feel like I can avoid that again by getting the upper hand on it and putting myself in a position of control. Cause I'm going to control the situation. I will not be having that happen to me again. And it's
that was total sense.
Definitely me in high school for sure.
And I was totally kidding, by the way, about thinking those girls are gonna F your boyfriend. I was totally kidding.
Well, sometimes it's not.
I mean, I think there's a few rare cases where those they're just predatory, but
I totally
get that a lot of times it's just there has been hurt or fear or trauma, usually from your fourth or fifth or sixth grade girls that were mean to you.
Yes, for sure. I also wanted to ask, this is maybe my last question, but there was one TikTok you had that you were like truth bomb or, you know, something like that. Where you're like, only 50% of your female friendships are reciprocal. I was like, oh, I'm like trying to think like, which ones are reciprocal?
Oh my God, when Lauren told me that, I was like, oh damn.
Yeah.
Wait, I think I'm always the initiator.
I know. I literally, because, okay, I will say this is something I did not realize until 2020. And it's, I think, a lot to do with that I was furloughed for like 5 months in 2020 from like end of April to beginning of October. And once I started my job in October again, like, I feel like it wasn't as big of a deal to me anymore. But when I was furloughed, I was like, I have no friends. Like, what the heck? Like, no one, even though I have a roommate, but she had a like fiance. Now they're like, they got married in November. Like, but she was always with him or like they're always together and like, or she was still working. So like, you know, she was busy and I was on my own the whole day. And
just get put in the nobody category all the time.
Oh my God. You need to chill. Okay. That's when I became, Tiffany is literally my crush. I'm harassing her every single day that I've always like harassed her a good bit, but now it was definitely happening.
We definitely leaned in quarantine though. I think it's good to have those people.
Well, because I also
you only need one.
Well, I was like,
I need one person to lean on. I am your everything, anybody. Lauren. You need nobody else.
Okay, you need to know something about Tiffany. She's very territorial.
Not true. I can share.
She lies. She's like right to your face right now. She jokes. I'm doing air quotes. She jokes that she's not, and that she is, but she is. Yeah, basically when I was furloughed, I wasn't seeing anybody. We were all quarantined and stuff too. So I was just like FaceTime people randomly. And like, I would literally go through like 8 people and no one would answer. And I'm just like, okay, I have no friends. Like, so I was literally thinking back when I saw that TikTok, I was like thinking back to my furloughed months where I was like, oh, maybe I'm not, those aren't reciprocal.
Yeah. So, okay. So let me just be honest because when the comments were just like, so, so wild. So first of all, a little of it is like, that's true. And I'm going to explain that.
It makes sense.
But it's TikTok. So it's like, let me make a short, quick video. So you don't even have time for context, but on, you know, things like platforms like, you know, my podcast, the Friend Forward podcast, then we can delve into that more deeply, but just like just stripping it of any context. Yes, that's true. So study from MIT that found that 50% of your friendships are reciprocal. Now, when I made that TikTok, I just left it at that. And then, so of course people were like, oh my God, what's 50% of zero?
Same.
Or they were like, oh my God, I have two friends. Which one is it? And I'm like, okay. And everyone's like paranoid, like time out. We're doing the math. We're busting out the calculator. And so the rest of the context of that is, it doesn't mean that there are 50% of your friends are lurking and they are secretly, that's not what it means. But it means like, if I rank my friend as a 9 and I have all these people as 9s, for half of them, I'm a 4. Mm-hmm. So that's really what it means, is they're maybe not prioritizing you the same. Because if you think about it, we always think of ourselves like in the protagonist position or mm-hmm. you know, the victim position. But let's flip that around. There's people who consider you their close friend and you're like, oh, I like you. Mm-hmm. I do. But I don't feel like we're close. You're doing it too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it speaks less to who has bad intentions of me and half these people are out to get me, or half of them don't really like me. It's less to do with mm-hmm. that. Or if we text somebody, they don't text back. We're like, oh, okay, you're part of the 50%. I see you. You know, like, it's not like that, that
you
extreme.
You flip chart and you start writing names down like, next oh, time, yep, 50%.
Yeah. The next time Tiffany takes more than an hour to respond to my text, I'm like, are you 50%? Right now?
Okay, well, I time block my messages, so whatever. That's not even fair.
You can't time
block. Right, and so so that's like the context for it. But of course, I knew people would be like, wait, what? And so mm-hmm. it's just interesting too, because we all have different definitions of friendship and betrayal or whatever. But it just means how we prioritize each other.
Yeah,
half the people in my circle were not on the same level, but mm-hmm. that's okay. I feel like mm-hmm. you know, you hear that the first time and you're like, wait, what? But if you sit with it for a second, it could be kind of liberating, because mm-hmm. you feel like, oh, I don't have to keep these all up. Or if somebody, you know, doesn't respond back, it's not a betrayal. It's not, oh, okay, mm-hmm. I guess we're on different rankings. Well, okay. I mean, they still like you. They still, but with all the things, remember we talked about those 5. So if you're in their 10, mm-hmm. you're still in their circle. It's just not mm-hmm. their tightest, you know, smallest circle, the bigger one, but it's okay. And I think we have to depersonalize our number of friends and texting us back from our worth. And a lot of us get mm-hmm. devastated because mm-hmm. we're like, you didn't text me back, or you don't like me the same. Oh, well, you know, like, what does that say about me? And like, what does that mean? And it's just like, oh, well, okay.
It's kind of just detaching just a little bit from you know, like, and I don't see detachment in a bad way, you know, like monks detach from outside factors signifying their worth totally. So knowing that you're a bomb person, regardless if you're a 4 to everybody else,
no matter where you are in the top 8, you're amazing.
Exactly.
Well, it kind of makes me think of, like, I didn't really think about it like this before, but it kind of makes me think of, you know, when I get asked to be a bridesmaid and I'm like, really? Like, I'm honored. I love you. I would not have, but in the back of my head, I'm like, I would not have put them in my, you know, they wouldn't be my bridesmaid, but they would be invited to my wedding, but they wouldn't be like a bridesmaid. I could invite them to the bachelorette, but like, you know, so that's
a good example, Lauren.
Bravo.
I'm using that just so you know, from like this point on, that's really good.
Yeah, no, that really is really how I feel about some things. I feel, but like what you said, it is a little bit liberating when you think of it like that, where, cause I feel like, I'm like, oh my God, if I'm in this person's wedding, that means I have to be in mine. And I'm not even, I'm like very single. So like not even mm-hmm. something I'm even close to, but sometimes I do think about that. I'm like, does this mean like if, you know, if I'm their maid of honor, they have to be mine, or if like I'm in their bridesmaid, or, you know, they have to be in mine. Like, it's just kind of interesting that it is kind of like, man, dang, maybe I 50% a lot of people then. Not everyone. If I've been in your wedding,
sounds like the key is really just removing your ego from a lot of these things and just like accepting what it is for what it is in that moment. And I think that's a lot of stuff in life, is just like doing the best you can with what you have. And just appreciating what it is mm-hmm. for what it is.
I mean, that it does sound like so simple, but
it's not.
That right. is, yeah. And, but that is it. Like of all these things, and we're like, well, which friends and what 50%, how many friends, how many? At the end of the day, you really need your female friends, period. Yeah. That's one truth from this conversation. Mm-hmm. you need them. We didn't even get into it, but like all the physical and emotional impacts literally of having women in your life. So you need them. That's one truth that we can take from today's conversation. The next one is, even though we need them and they're so critical to us, you can't let your friendships be a reflection of who you are as a person. So if you're feeling like, man, I don't have any people right now, that doesn't mean you're not worthy. You're not interesting. You are not loved. You are not seen. You are all those things. But because of just, I don't know, the world right now, and you've got women who are losing their jobs and trying to balance e-learning and helping this kid learn, and they're figuring out like, what do we do? And I haven't gotten a gig in 2 months. Like, that's so mentally strenuous. And then also, we're not giving enough credit to the fact that we're going through like a collective sustained trauma just in the pandemic. And not to be dramatic, but like the fact that when you go outside, you have to ask yourself, well, hold on, like, ah, God, did I walk too close to him? And I want to hang out, but like, am I breathing too hard? Do we have to wear a mask here? Okay, if I touch this, if I touch my eyes, like, doing that all day is not normal. So we are so overwhelmed with all the things that we can't personalize her not reaching out for 2 days or for a week, because it's just so much. And so I think if we know that friendships are so necessary, but if a person doesn't like me back the same way, that's okay. They're still great. We're still cool. And also, finally, one truth is, you know, if you want something more, to freaking say it. And that's like, I say it all the time. If you do have a friend and things go left, you're going to be tempted to be like, well, then, okay, well, I guess this friendship's done. I'll just get somebody else. If you want it, and if you're being real and not trying to be like, trying to be hard, you want it and you miss her and you love her and it's freaking awkward and you wish it wasn't awkward, go say that. Mm-hmm. And so I think like, if we keep all those things in mind, those are like the truths of all the detailed chatter that we're having. Those are like the big pictures of all the things. You want her, go after her, make it work, put it on the calendar, spend time together, do the work. If you don't want it anymore, it's fine. That's cool. I'm great. You're great. We're not great together, and that's okay. And I need friends. So I'm going to constantly do the work to make sure I grow something meaningful of people in my life. That's really like the gist.
Y'all, rewind 1 minute. Yeah. Listen to that one more time, because Danielle just dropped some truth on you. She just summed up the entire episode in 1 minute for you right there. I'm going to go back and listen to that again, because it was
for sure.
Totally, you just dropped the truth on us right there. Danielle, that was awesome. Thank you.
Well, I know, honestly, I feel like I probably could ask you so many more questions, but we'll cut it off.
We can't top that. She just,
we can't really top that there. So,
like, so how many friends though? How many, what number? No, that's important.
I just need
like
a number.
Common question. Yes. We all want to know. Like, we all are trying to gauge what's normal. I've noticed, especially now that we're all like in our homes, we really don't have a gauge of like, what's normal. What's normal? I only have two. Do you guys have two over there? We don't even know. We don't, we're not seeing each other at work to talk like between breaks, like, hey, but so I see that as a growing question right now, because how do you even know if you're normal?
This is going to help a lot of people.
I did not know.
A lot of people's mind at ease. And I think that because we mostly have a female audience, like, this is going to be truly beneficial. So Danielle, thank you so much for the facts and the research that you've taken the time to look into, and then bringing that knowledge to us. I think that this is going to be a super helpful segment for everybody to listen to. I think it's going to put a lot of people's like mental stress at ease, like, because we're all trying to navigate. Are we doing things the right way? It is very stressful. Are we making enough connections? Am I giving enough energy? I know that I am not a good indicator, because I am totally content with the couple of friends that I put all my energy to, but I know that everybody out there has kind of the same collective question. Am I doing enough to be a good friend? And am I worthy of receiving the friends that are or are not reaching out to me? So I think that you just kind of answered all those questions in one. So I'm thankful that you're about to make a big impact on a bunch of different people. So I think that's amazing. And everything in your journey has led you to this moment and to help all these people. So I'm super excited.
And I will say, until I came across your viral video, sucked into your TikToks and stuff. And then I went to your Instagram. I was like, I didn't even tell Tiffany first. I was like, I'm messaging this person. She's going to have to be on our podcast. Like, I have to talk to her. Cause I didn't even, you know, we talk about, you know, you could think you're a good friend or a bad friend or whatever, but like, I was like, we've never had a conversation about what that actually means. We talk about love and dating and whatever, and we'd never prioritize like talking about friendships in the same way. So I think like there needs to be more of an importance on that. So I appreciate everything that you're doing. And I really want you to tell us like where we can find you, you know, all the platforms. I know you have like a book, you have the membership, like tell us all the things.
Yeah. So, our website is betterfemalefriendships.com and it's all the things. We do have an app. It's a membership. And so I always try to like clarify because people be like, oh, it's an app. And they think it's going to be like this $2.99. They're like, oh, $2. And it's actually $19 a month. But I'm always like, right. So how much do you spend on drinks when you go out with your friend? Okay, great.
More than that.
So, you know, I'm in there. So like literally we live streamed just a few of us. It was intimate last night. And I was going back and forth with one girl who's really upset with another girl. So like I am in there. So it's coaching and we have virtual events. So like literally,
is cool.
Yeah. So on February 10th, we're having, you know, these girls are going to do mixology lessons for us and we're learning how to make really fancy cocktails. And
this is so fun.
We have yoga on Friday. And so the thing is that group, the Friend Forward group, is like a microcosm of your real life. Because I'm going to say this now, there's one girl in the group last night, she messaged me and she was like, I would like to cancel my membership because I'm not getting a lot out of this. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, my first thought was like, you know, I built this and it's not good enough. And
my heart, yeah.
And so I asked her, I was like, wow, I am so sorry because I want you to stay. Have you been to any of the events? Oh no. Okay. Have you, messaged any of the girls to try to start something? Cause there's tons of girls in here. Oh, you haven't done that. Okay. Did you watch any of the videos? Like I put in a little video every week, like a 7-minute thing with homework. Mm-hmm. Try this. Have you tried any of them? Oh no. Did you join our book club? Because we read a book together every month. Oh, you didn't know that. So it's just
funny. Read a book together.
Oh, yeah. But it's just like, that's a representation of all the things in your life. Are you looking to be served as a friend? I came into the party. Who's going to talk to me? No one's talking to me. Did you talk? So anyway, so the membership.
Yeah, not to like talk trash about that person, but it just sounds like a little entitled. They're like expecting a little more without giving.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You can't say that, but I can.
Well, I think you feel that way, Tiffany, I guess.
You know, the shoe fits.
Yeah. We have a membership, but it's a practice field. So for all the things you're getting wrong out here, it's the practice field, but we do have events to keep it fun I'm really kind of like creating matchmaking opportunities. So yeah, we're having yoga, but I'm doing it because when we're there, okay. All right, you got 15 girls here. Go do your thing. So it's really like matchmaking. So the membership's one way. My podcast is the Friend Forward Podcast, and our website is betterfemalefriendships.com.
Yeah.
You are the cutest little thing. I can't even take it.
Perfect. And we'll link all of that stuff. I'm definitely going to link your TikTok as well, but because I think it's really helpful information, quick, helpful information for like the lazy people out there, like myself. So, but yeah.
I love this app idea. I'm excited about this.
This is very cool.
I'm going to jump in. It reminds me of the Clubhouse app. Have you heard of this, Danielle?
So
the Clubhouse app is different because it's for entrepreneurs, but this is like for your girlfriends. So this is way cooler and way more fun.
Probably more fun.
So when I compared, I wasn't saying like, okay, this is like similar to Clubhouse, but it's similar in that it is a place to connect. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to connect with your girlfriends. So I love this concept.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Well, thank you so much. Seriously, it's amazing. Like, this is such an important conversation to have. I hope everyone gets something out of this. So
I didn't even realize how important it was going to be until we started getting into the important stuff. And I was like, damn, okay, this is important, especially right now.
Yeah. Take a sip of
your honesty.
Yeah. I mean, that is
No. When I say that, I mean like I was here for it. I was excited. But when we started talking about like the details, I was like, damn, this is very, very important.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad.
Perfect. All right. Well, we got to give we got permission to enter. So we're going to give you permission to exit now to button the whole podcast here. So,
and to be totally transparent, Lauren and I always try to say this together and we always fudge it up, but I'm going to put it in the universe. We're going to get this together right now.
We're going to say it in unison.
So Danielle, you now have permission to exit.
You gave up.
You didn't even talk.
All right.
I gave up. Permission you didn't even to exit. Go in.
Go, please. I wouldn't say we made it, but we made it through. We just had Moose Mag and we made him do that. I wouldn't say we made it, but we made it through. We just had Moose Mag and we made him do that. I wouldn't say we made it. We didn't make it up, we just made a way. We gon' take it up, we won't fade away. I got too many dreams, gotta stay away. Ask me if I change, yo, it's night and day. I told the backstabbers, put the knife away. I'm tryna get my family to a nicer place. Room for everybody, but no room for hate. Everybody eating off the nicest plate.
When it all comes together, yeah. When it can't get any better, yeah. Play this when it all comes together, yeah. When it can't get any better, but you better keep on grinding, keep on rising, keep on shining. They forget, then you remind them what we call a perfect timing. But you better keep on grinding, keep on rising, keep on shining. They forget, then you remind them what we call a perfect timing. I'm like, hey. I know I